99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterbacks just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
We are back on the Red Zone for another edition of a Thursday episode on WZND. I'm Liam Lyons. Alongside me is Connor Allen and Jaden Cohn, our producer. For those of you who did not get to listen last week and there were technical issues on the uploading side of things, we are your new host of Red Zone this year. I'm a senior. I'm your sports director here. Jaden Cohn is our producer and also our studio manager here. And also another junior is our host, Connor Allen. Guys, welcome to the show once again. It's going to be a great week of Red Zone. Great week of ISU sports on the way as well.
I'm very excited. We got a lot of important topics to cover today. It's going to be a great season, great year, and I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah, so let's just get right into the swing of things, guys. So first of all, the first sport we want to talk about today is ISU soccer. ISU soccer is actually going to play a game tonight in Normal against the Western Illinois Leathernecks. Now, the soccer team, not the best start to the year, 0-3-1 to start off the year after a loss on last Thursday against Butler, and then they tied with Green Bay last Sunday. So, guys, really quickly, what can the Redbirds do to get their first win tonight at home in Normal?
I think a lot of it is just they have to find the back of the net, and that's been an issue all the last few seasons, is they haven't been able to get something going offensively. They only have about 4 total goals all season, so they just need to get the ball rolling and they can get going on offense.
Yeah, I mean, they had a good game against Green Bay last week, so they just need to continue to build on that momentum.
Yeah, I mean, truly, this team has struggled so far, but I mean, this is a team that's also, as you two have mentioned, rebuilding. So there's going to be a lot of different things going on here. But Western Illinois, an Illinois school, you play them at home. Tonight is their pack the pitch match. So it's going to be a great match tonight. And also, we got to talk about cross country. First meet of the year for cross country over in Champaign. They're in the Illini Open starting this weekend. And I talked to our beat reporter for cross country, Jason Zaylor, and cross country's got a lot of new faces, a lot of seniors graduated, some transfers. And cross country, I mean, they don't have a lot of events, some of these other sports, but to start off hot in Champaign, that's going to be a great start to your season.
This is a very interesting season for this team because, like you just mentioned, Liam, this team is a lot of freshmen and a lot of sophomores. They only have a couple upperclassmen, and that's going to be the difference maker of the season.
Yeah, you mean a younger group out there, a lot of new faces, like you mentioned. So it's going to be important for them to get off to a good start on the season so they can keep that momentum going into the rest of the year.
I would definitely say just starting off hot. Even if you can't beat your big opponents, just showing face, getting some people up in the ranks, it's going to be huge because first match of the season, or first meet, I should say, it just goes a long way. It builds momentum for the rest of your season going on and so forth. And then also, our third sport that we got to talk about this week is also going to be volleyball. Volleyball, so they are currently haven't officially started their season. They had an exhibition match versus Eastern Illinois last Saturday over in Charleston. But this weekend, starting tomorrow, they'll have their Western Michigan tournament. Those will be 3 games played in Kalamazoo, with the first game being tomorrow against DePaul. Guys, what are we looking for volleyball-wise?
One of the big things that I took away from watching that exhibition match, they did lose in 5 sets to Eastern Illinois. However, Ella Craigs, she's definitely jumping into that true freshman role. She played in her first match, dropped 34 assists. So it's definitely a big role for her coming into that first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you lose a key player like Sammy Bunch to start your season, not a good start. And you go into a tournament in Kalamazoo where you're going to be playing some good competition. It's going to be important for the Redbirds to get off to a good start because the MBC is very competitive in the volleyball field.
If you missed last week's episode of Red Zone, we played Jaden Cohn's interview of head coach L.A. Matters talking about that injury to Sammy Bunch and what's that going to mean for the Redbirds losing a key player before the season even gets underway. That is awful. I mean, that's just not something any sport wants to see. One of your key players getting hurt. And this weekend, it's going to be tough. I mean, but also some pretty good opponents this weekend. You got DePaul on Friday, Western Michigan on Saturday, and then also Oakland on Sunday. So some faces that the Redbirds usually don't see in the volleyball season. But also, like, guys, what can we expect to see scheme-wise on the volleyball team?
I definitely think Ada Shadowald and Hannah Reichensberger are definitely going to be their primary attackers up front. they still are figuring out with that libero plays, figuring out who's going to run that libero spot for Sammy Bunch. But it's definitely going to be a good opportunity for them to get in the rhythm while the tournament is going on their way.
Yeah, I mean, Reichenberger, we even saw her at libero during that scrimmage and some practices before that. So it's really hard to say what that situation is going to look like, but they just need to try to figure that out before they get too deep into the year.
Yeah, the first of three tournaments so far for the Redbirds this season, this first one being at Western Michigan. Following that will be the Iowa tournament, which starts on September 4th. And then you'll also have the Linda Herman Volleyball Classic. That's actually going to be here at CEFQ Arena starting September 12th through the 14th. All of those matches at CEFQ will be broadcasted on WZND.com. And also you can find all volleyball stories at WZND.com. And I should have said that earlier, too. That goes for cross-country, soccer. All of our fall and winter sports will be on WZND.com story-wise. Guys, also, tomorrow night starts the official high school football season. We have five teams in the Bloomington Normal area that we cover here at WZND: Bloomington, Bloomington Central Catholic, Normal West, Normal Community, and also U-High. So all five of these teams, guys, made the playoffs last year. Two of those teams, Normal Community and U-High, were almost state finalists. They had a great year, but five teams all in the same area making the playoffs. What does that say for momentum building into this year?
I one thing that I definitely notice is, especially being down here in Normal, this is a football town, and football is just one of the most important aspects for this team, and all five teams just have tremendous ability in this town.
Yeah, I mean, they're all well-coached teams. I mean, there's a reason they're getting to this point every season. These are teams that have had consistent success. You know, it's not, you know, 1 year out of every couple. I mean, they are consistently making playoff runs, and they are consistently being competitive. So coaching goes a long way for sure.
I was actually the high school beat reporter the last 2 years here at WZND, so I've gotten to know all five of these coaches pretty well. They're all great coaches at what they do, and you can definitely tell that the players get behind all these guys. And talk about these two teams that almost made state last year, Normal Community and U-High. These were two teams that, before the season, if you were talking about one of these teams, it was definitely Normal Community. They had a lot of high recruits. They had momentum from the previous season where they were near the state semis, but then they fell short. And Normal Community was a great team last year, but also U-High, definitely the sleeper of these five teams last year. No one expected them to go as far as they did, and they made a great run towards that state title. And the thing that I always found cool about U-High is they play all their games here at Hancock Stadium. I mean, that's something that I dreamed of growing up, being able to play a high school match at a college stadium. Like, that is just amazing.
And you can go back to all the players on the ISU roster. A lot of them are from Normal Community, so there's definitely a historical factor between these two schools.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of guys, big one being Ty Niekamp. I mean, his whole family is from the area. He played at Normal. So, I mean, it's really cool just to see the fact that a lot of these guys are coming into ISU and they're getting to continue their legacies where a lot of them were playing. Some of them were playing at Hancock Stadium when they were young. So it's just really cool, you know, seeing the community that has kind of grown around all these teams since they're all so close together. I never had something like that where in my hometown. So it's really cool seeing that these five schools have really blossomed in the football ranks.
One of the things I found that was cool when I was getting a chance to interview these coaches over the last few years as the beat reporter is the thing that these teams out in Central Illinois see as themselves when they get into the playoffs later part of the year is they got to prove themselves, because a lot of these people for IHSA football, they think of the teams in the Chicago suburbs, the teams like East St. Louis or like just teams that everybody knows on, whether it be Max Preps or some sort of high school recruiting page. Everyone knows those teams. Nobody until the nitty-gritty part of the season knows about the Central Illinois teams. So they always got to have a target on their back, and they're just trying to make everyone know that they can play the same brand of football as everyone else. And they definitely proved it last year, all of them making the playoffs, all of them pretty much making a solid run, exceeding expectations that some of them had for this past year. And the thing that's cool about IHSA this year too, next couple of years, because the deal that was made, all the state games are played here at Hancock Stadium. So if any of these teams do make a run this year, they don't really got to go far. They're playing right down the street here in Normal.
And one of the big things, not to mention about the some of the teams down here, but just ISA football in general, I noticed a lot of shift changes, like teams who did pretty well in 4A are being bumped up to 5A, teams that did well in 5A being up to 6A. So it's definitely very good for these teams.
So how that works in IHSA is once you are successful for a continued amount of years and also with the enrollment, that's when the IHSA makes the decision whether to bump you up or keep you at the same level. That's why you've seen kind of the shifts a little bit. Like East St. Louis recently moved up because they've been so dominant in the class that they've been in. I mean, that's a team that you always see on some sort of high school mixtape, but it's really just how it works. I mean, my school, Brother Rice, was in the talks of recently getting moved up or moved down. They stayed where they're at, but Mount Carmel moved up to 8A. It just really depends on what the IHSA values as your program. But I just want to say good luck to all five of these teams this season. We will be covering you. Adam Tickler and Nick Thompson have you covered here at WZND.com all year high school football. And it's just been a great year. I'm so excited high school football's back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. Like you mentioned, you know, a lot of these teams from down south, they want to go and face those teams from up north because they want to prove that they can still compete with, you know, teams in the Chicagoland area. Same thing goes for these teams up north playing against teams in this down south. So kind of goes both ways, but super exciting college or high school football year for sure.
Very exciting for all these sports starting up soon. Going to be a great year of fall slash winter sports here at WZND. When we come back on the Red Zone, we'll be talking about ISU football, our thoughts on the week one matchup with the Oklahoma Sooners. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. We're back on the Red Zone at 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. I'm Liam Lyons, joined alongside Jaden Cohn and Connor Allen. And guys, now let's talk some ISU football. Football season is here for the Redbirds. No more preview talk, no more red and white scrimmage. We are here in week one, 2 days away from when the Redbirds travel down to Norman, Oklahoma, to take on the Oklahoma Sooners of the SEC. Now, guys, last year the Redbirds played Iowa week one in Iowa City, and we talked all about how the Redbirds had an amazing first half against the Iowa Hawkeyes, only holding them to 6-0, and we looked pretty good against the Iowa defense for a little bit, just stopped in goal line spots, and then the second half came, and the reality of an FCS versus an FBS came, and we lost 40-0. Now, hopefully we're not going to see that in 2 days against the Oklahoma Sooners, but I just really quickly, like, what are some early thoughts on this game on Saturday?
I think being ranked number 6 in FCS is definitely a very good sign. This team development, especially under Rittenhouse and then his receiving core, where you go with Sopkowitz and then Maylander, is definitely going to be a name to watch out for. I think it's a very good chance, and this Redbird team can stick it with the Sooners. I'm going to say that right now.
I mean, they're 35-point underdogs at this point. So, like you mentioned, FBS versus FCS, there's always going to be an uphill battle for an FCS team. But, I mean, it's exciting. You're kicking off your season against a nationally ranked team. There's got to be a lot of excitement in that locker room because just knowing, you know, I know NIU's not FCS, but what they did last year to Notre Dame, you know, anyone has a chance any given day. You know, it just depends on, you know, the day you're going to catch a team off. Also, it's going to rain most of the day on Saturday, so maybe, you know, you could get a couple lucky slips and falls from some Oklahoma guys. It really depends on, you know, who has it on any given day, but it's still exciting. You know, you're going down to Norman. It's going to be a great environment. It should be fun.
It's going to be a great environment down in Norman. I mean, this is a team that's new to the SEC, but this is not a team that's new to FBS football. They are a very historic franchise down there. I mean, the Red River rivalry, one of my most favorite games to watch on the year. But let's talk Oklahoma really quick. So this is a team that went 6-7 last year. They kind of struggled a little bit, especially on the offensive side. Ended up losing their bowl game in the Armed Forces Bowl to Navy by a final score of 21-20. Early part of that game, everyone thought Oklahoma had it finally figured out. They were going to stop Navy, kind of put an end to the narrative that Navy was having a great year. And then second half came around and Navy just really played well in that spot. Now, guys, Oklahoma is having some transfers come in this year. They have John Mateer at the quarterback spot. We talked about Jaden Ott a little bit preview before this show. I mean, this is a team that's just trying to start fresh, especially if you're Brett Venables, trying to make sure that Oklahoma can establish itself as a true SEC powerhouse.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's in a situation where last two years really have been disappointing, and Brent Venables at this point is very much on the hot seat, so he needs himself a big year, and he went on the transfer portal. He got the guys he needed. John Mateer looked great in his first year starting at Washington State. The expectations for him are high. The wide receiving room last year was atrocious. Their leading receiver had 300 yards. Like, that just shows how bad they were. So, I mean, this is a team that's completely revamped. They've revamped on both sides of the ball. There's a reason they're 18th ranked in the nation.
And, yeah, as you say, 18th ranked in the nation, let's not slight anything that this isn't a bad football team, because they are a very well-coached football team. Brett Venables is a very well-known coach throughout college football, and he's just trying to make sure that Oklahoma stays on top as a face. It's really hard to establish yourself as a true team when you're just new to the SEC. The SEC is such a very well-established conference, as we all know. I mean, when you think SEC, you think the true teams like Alabama, LSU, you name it. But now with Oklahoma and Texas in the picture, they just got to do what they can. I mean, Texas has already kind of done its part with Steve Sarkisian over there, making a little run in the college football playoff last year. And now Oklahoma is trying to do the exact same thing. And I think they've done a really great job in recruiting. As we already talked about, Oklahoma has a very passionate fan base down there in Norman. They have great crowds at their games, a stadium that I've always wanted to go to, and I'm really sure that's going to be a great crowd come Saturday night.
And then you talked a little bit about the SEC and how just a powerhouse conference it is. Oklahoma did struggle last season in conference, only a 2-6 record. So there's definitely improvement to be made, but it is the SEC, and they have tough opponents, but you can never count that out against these teams.
I mean, they should have been 3-5. Their loss to Missouri last year was awful. But anyways, I mean, yeah, this is a team that just kind of needs a revamp year. Like, they need a big year, because this is a program that has had so much success in recent memory, and for them to fall off the way they have. Jackson Arnold did not work out as a five-star quarterback. So for them to struggle the way they have the last couple of years, it's uncharacteristic, and they're obviously looking to go get back into that mix for a potential playoff spot, because now with the expanded playoffs, no, you have really any chance when you're nationally ranked.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you just got to win your key games, and even if you don't win the conference, just stay in that top 15 range if you can. It's really how the new frame works, and this is a new format that I could say that definitely benefits a team like Notre Dame, where you just, as long as you stay undefeated, it's really no need for them to join a conference, which I just will never understand about Notre Dame. But let's not talk Notre Dame. Seriously, guys, 5 o'clock Saturday in Norman, chance for the Redbirds to shock the world. For everyone who doesn't know about us here in Normal, Illinois, great opportunity. I was saying the same thing a year ago, and watching that game last year, I was like, we actually might have a shot. Like, it actually looked pretty good in the first half. But then Mason Cain went down. Things didn't go our way. And really, it's tough. But hopefully, fingers crossed, guys, no injuries on Saturday. No injuries. I don't care what the final score is, but you do not want to have an injury to start off your season, especially before you get into, like, conference play and some of these teams that ISU will have to play later in the year.
And you going into a bigger school like Oklahoma, it's definitely going to be surreal. You're going to have a lot of jitters, especially in that big atmosphere. But like you said, Liam, you don't want any star players to go down. It's going to be a tough game, but it should be a fun game to watch.
And let's not discredit anything about Brett Venables, guys. This is a team that before he came to Oklahoma, he spent 10 years as the defensive coordinator at Clemson. And when Trevor Lawrence was still at Clemson and when Deshaun Watson was still at Clemson, the reason that defense was solid was a lot apart because of those guys, but those guys learned everything because of Brett Venables. He was a great coach there, and that is why Oklahoma has given him the keys to the kingdom, and I think he is really trying to establish something down there. And really quick and soon, we're going to talk to Dave Myrick of 107.7, the franchise down in Norman. I'm really excited for that. I got to talk on his show a little bit yesterday and hear his thoughts about the game. And it's awesome that we kind of get to do this little collab. I wish we kind of got that going in Iowa last year.
And this whole idea of the collab, he reached out to me on Twitter, and we just sort of got in a message, and then I passed him along to Liam, and then we just shared ideas. And I'm really interested to see what he says from the Oklahoma perspective, and then we could just interview him a little bit more on that.
It's always really interesting to see, like, the whole narrative between the FCS and the FBS, because last year basically every year you see those games. But last year we saw a near upset week one where North Dakota State almost took down Colorado. That was one of the most exciting games, I think, of week one last year. But let's not doubt about Coach Brock Speck. He has 3 wins over FBS programs in his time here at Illinois State. Most recently, that came against Colorado State back in 2018 before any of us were a Redbird. But I remember hearing about that. And it's just when teams from the FCS upset an FBS, it's always exciting. You think of way back in the day when Appalachian State beat Michigan to block the field goal. I mean, that's just what you want to be. You want to shock the world. You want to let people know who you are. And I think the Redbirds have everything in their arsenal to do that on Saturday.
Yeah, Brock's back. I mean, he's got his guys all bought in. Like, he's kind of similar to Dan Campbell if he was a little bit more mild-mannered. Like, his guys are willing to run through a wall for him. So if there would be any reason why the Redbirds are still in this game against Oklahoma come the fourth quarter, it's going to be because they're playing tough. It's going to be because they're playing physical football. It's because they're running the ball hard. Whatever they have to do, it's going to be because this team is 100% bought in. The effort's going to be there. They're going to play this team hard. It's just going to be a kind of battle of the skill positions to see who gets the upper hand.
And it's always fun to watch and be the underdog because you have that chip on your shoulder and you want to go in there, prove your point, and that'll just let you know.
Yeah, so we're getting geared up here for Dave Myrick of 107.7 The Franchise to be part of this show. Now, a little bit about Dave. He is a longtime Oklahoma fan, longtime radio worker, and I think it's going to be awesome to hear him on the airwaves. I mean, this guy knows his football.
Yeah, so it'd be awesome to get a fresh perspective on that Oklahoma team. Obviously, we know a little bit about this squad. We know some names, John Mateer, Brent Venables, but it's going to be nice to see him kind of go more in depth on a lot of these guys.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dave Myrick of 107.7 The Franchise down in Norman, Oklahoma. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. We're back on The Red Zone. Liam Lyons, Jaden Cohn, and Connor Allen. Now, we have a very special guest here to join us now on The Red Zone, Dave Myrick of 107.7 The Franchise over in Norman, Oklahoma. Now, Dave, it is awesome to be on your show earlier this week, and I'm very glad you were able to be on The Red Zone.
Yeah, guys, good to be with you. Just left Norman. A lot of buzz on campus, a lot of excitement. No week quite like the season opener, and I think the Redbirds are going to be a very pesky, very good FCS team opening opponent for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this matchup. As we mentioned in the previous segment, it's very exciting when ISU gets the chance to play an FBS program. Last year we got to play Iowa. Now we get our first opportunity in program history to meet with the Oklahoma Sooners. So I'm really excited for this matchup. And really quick, Dave, I just want to ask, like you talked about a little bit, but how would you rate just the overall experience in Norman right now for this opening week?
Yeah, you know, it's different. That's a good question. I followed Oklahoma a long time. There's more anticipation for this season opener. You know, given the fact it's not a opponent like Notre Dame or Ohio State or Miami, I haven't seen the Oklahoma fan base this jazzed just to get out and watch football in a long time. I think it goes to how many unknowns there are with Oklahoma this year. They lost to Navy in a bowl game to finish off a losing season, something that fans around here just aren't used to seeing. The mood, the vibe with OU football was not good. And a lot of talk about, you know, do you keep Brent Venables? Do you make a move? The administration said, no, we're going to keep him, but we're going to give him all the help we can. They bring in Ben Arbuckle from Washington State. He brings his quarterback with John Mateer. They get Jaden Ott, one of the best running backs in the country from Cal. And all of a sudden in the offseason, it went from, you know, this doom and gloom to kind of optimistic and hope. And the more we get closer to kickoff, a lot of national experts are starting to kind of have Oklahoma sneaking around that 12-team playoff mark. So there's just so many unknowns. The expectation, I think, is surprisingly high from where it was when the season ended. And Norman is a buzz. They are ready for kickoff, I'll tell you that.
That kind of leads into my first question for you, Dave. So you talked about a lot of the new additions to the Oklahoma team. And, I mean, this is a team I would definitely say won in the offseason. They got a lot of guys that the fans are liking. And if you can tell a little bit, what can the ISU fans expect to see from this John Mateer-led offense come Saturday?
That's a great question. I'm right there with him waiting to see. I mean, we watched what he did at Washington State, right? And there was a guy around here for a long time named Lincoln Riley, and a lot of the concepts you'll see are the same. They run a lot of the same route tree stuff, making the first and second read easy on the quarterbacks. That's why John Mateer had a great year. A lot of the same zone rushing concepts. The GT, you know, counter is going to be featured, I think, quite a bit against Illinois State. But They're kind of in this spot. They got Michigan, the Wolverines, rolling to town next week. So it's kind of like a how much do you want to open the playbook week one? I think they need to open this thing, crack it open, let Mateer get some rhythm with these wide receivers. It's a very deep group at the wideout spot, just unproven. Deion Burks, probably the leading returner coming back. The problem was he was hurt all season last year. Everybody thinks he's insanely talented, but we haven't seen it in an Oklahoma uniform. So I think you're going to see John Mateer and Ben Arbuckle really try to get out and sling the ball around the yard. I mean, for if it goes into the half, you know, at a decent score for Oklahoma, I don't think they're going to care. I think they're going to roll their starters right back out and try to get this thing off and running early because the schedule does not get easier, you know, after you guys.
Dave, Connor Allen here. I was wondering, this defensive unit, we obviously know Brent Venables is a defensive guy. You have guys like Marvin Jones Jr. up front, Mason Taylor on the line. So what are you expecting from this front seven this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, look, the front seven for Oklahoma is being called the best in the SEC. And when you're that, typically you're one of the best in the country. I see enough there just with the inside rotation of Grayson Holton, Jaden Jackson, a freshman All-American last year. You got David Stone, a five-star that came in last year, didn't really like the entire thing around playing football, like practice and going to school. From all accounts, he's straightened that up and has become a monster on the inside to go with Demonic Williams, a very good SEC defensive tackle. That rotation alone sets Oklahoma apart in my eyes. That is a very stout interior defensive line, and the problem opponents are going to have, it gets better on the outside. You just said it. Marvin Jones comes down from Tallahassee, five sacks a season ago, or Mason Thomas back. He's going to be an NFL first-round draft pick. Guys behind him, Danny Okoye, P.J. Adebore, another five-star, 6'4", 260-pound athletic freak. I mean, this defensive front has guys they can throw at you for days. And I'm not just talking about bodies for depth. I'm talking about legit day one NFL talent. So I definitely see where the hype is, and that is where my attention is going to be all day Saturday watching that Oklahoma defense.
Jaden Cohn here. So you just touched a little bit on the defensive side. In conference, you guys were 2-6. A lot of the secondary was hurt last year. What are the expectations going into this season for a healthier team and then other defensive players to know about?
Yeah, I mean, it was like the MASH unit last year on Oklahoma's sideline. I've never seen anything like it. There were, you know, anytime you've got a program that's having a rough year with some losses, you start to hear whispers. It, just the way it goes about guys sitting out, not being bought in. I don't know what's true with that. All I know is there were a bunch of guys out and labeled as hurt. They're back this year. Gentry Williams didn't play at all last year. He's going to be Oklahoma's starting field corner. He is another day one NFL draft pick. The guy's 6'2", 200 pounds, can flip his hips, run with anybody, very good in run support. The safety room is probably the second best on defense. Coach Brandon Hall's done a great job. So I expect the secondary with guys like Peyton Bowen, Robert Spears, Jennings to be very good. The problem Oklahoma had last year, you just referenced their record. It wasn't that they didn't have an offense. They had a thing on the field when the defense wasn't that actually hurt the team by giving the ball over. I mean, it was worse than three and outs. I've never seen an offense at Oklahoma anywhere close to that. So, I mean, the defense was back on the field pretty much every three snaps. And by the third quarter, those guys were gassed. You can tell. That's not going to be the case this year. The offense will be better. They will move the football. They'll chew up clock and give a very deep, very talented Oklahoma defense time to rest. I think they're going to benefit from that, the secondary included in that group.
Dave, I was wondering, looking at this defense as a whole, should be a good unit. However, you lose Danny Stutzman to the NFL, and that's a huge loss. One of the leaders on that defense, an All-American guy. What is this defense going to look like without somebody like him on the defense, a real leader in that locker room?
That's a great question. They lost two All-Americans, Billy Bowman Jr. back there in the secondary and Danny Stutzman. I mean, I've gone on the radio pretty much the entire fall and said to not temper expectations, but they are going to need somebody in that room to step up and duplicate what those guys did. I'm not so much worried about it on the field. They've got playmakers. They've got talent. It's what you just said. Danny Stutzman has been the leader of Oklahoma football on and off the field for 2 years. I mean, there was nobody else, you know, covering practice, going to games, being around those guys that stood up for the team like him. He was the leader they all looked at when things were going good, when it was going bad especially. So they need someone. That's part of the fascinating, you know, kind of mixture in this opening game, is to figure out, on top of everything else we've talked about, who's going to be that guy on defense. I think Kip Lewis, the returning weak side linebacker, is probably first in line. He's a superstar player, and I think we'll probably be a little bit more vocal this year trying to take Danny's spot, but they're going to have to find it. You're exactly right. That's going to be a tough ask to duplicate the numbers from last year without somebody like Stutzman on the back end.
So, Dave, everyone sees the overall look at this game. You see Oklahoma and a team that not many people in Oklahoma know about, in Illinois State. Now, I'm sure everyone has their expectations for Oklahoma come Saturday, but what in your mind is an ideal day for Oklahoma Saturday at 5 o'clock against the Redbirds?
Oh, that's a good one, man. I have respect for Illinois State. I have respect for anybody that plays college football against a team that you're supposed to beat, because we see it year in, year out. Things happen. There is no given in college football. And when I watch tape of Illinois State, I know talking to you yesterday, you referenced the quarterback coming back as a senior. Experienced quarterback play is what it comes down to. They can always sting you. That being said, I like Oklahoma's roster, of course. Athlete for athlete across the board. The perfect day, if you're Ben Arbuckle, if you're Brent Venables, you want to get your offense some work without having to show too much, to put enough points on the board to win, maybe get Michael Hawkins, the second-string quarterback, hopefully some time in the second half. You want to be comfortable enough, you know, late in the third quarter, fourth quarter, to where you can kind of see some depth that you have. If you don't, you got a problem in Norman this year.
Now, the first four games for Oklahoma are very interesting. Illinois State, Michigan, Temple, and then Auburn. So, I mean, really, my final question for you, Dave, is what will the offense need to do to improve come Michigan week? Because, I mean, ISU is not your average opponent, and Michigan is definitely a team that you'll see next year as well. So, I mean, to start the series with a win is going to be huge for the Sooners.
Yeah, I mean, what can the offense do to improve? I mean, complete a forward pass.
Yeah.
Epic improvement from last year. I mean, that was so bad. I mean, good grief. Look, have a good offensive line. That's where it's going to start and stop for Oklahoma on offense. I think they do. They bring in Mike Fasusi, another five-star, being called generational. He's going to get the nod at right tackle against you guys. And then you got a couple of vets, you know, we're going to play and see what they can do. But, you know, complete a forward pass, and I'll nod my head that it's gotten better. But block that thing up. Give Mateer some time. They opened up with Temple last year at home. It looked pretty on the score, like 51-13, I think. But if you watch that game, there were problems, red flags, Jackson Arnold getting decked pretty much every throw. They couldn't run the ball, so establish a run game. Take some pressure, you know, off Mateer. You're going to need to do that eventually in bigger games with Michigan, Auburn, Texas down the road. So get that thing cranked up. They've got a stable of running backs, Xavier Robinson, you know, Jaden Ott, Blaylock, the freshman. Get those guys in a rhythm. Get the five on offensive line in a rhythm and cohesive together as a unit, and I think they'll come out of game one happier than last year.
I really hope this thing works out for you in the Oklahoma season. I mean, these new additions are definitely going to be key into determining whether Oklahoma has improved or not, and I think that Jaden Ott and John Matera will be key in that. But thanks again, Dave, for being on our show. I also want to give you the opportunity to say, for my end, say thank you for having me on your show. It's awesome to do this little collab these last 2 days with you here on The Franchise and The Red Zone.
Yeah, no doubt, boys. It's been a blast, and I'm glad that we were able to hook up through social media. You guys rock. Keep doing your thing, and hopefully we'll have a good game here Saturday.
Yeah, best of luck to you guys on Saturday.
You too, guys. We'll talk to you later.
That was Dave Merrick of The Franchise here on 103.3 WZND's The Red Zone. Now, Dave, as I mentioned, runs his own radio show down in Oklahoma, 107.7 The Franchise. Dave is very knowledgeable in what he does, and we really appreciate his time. I mean, anytime you're able to link up with an opponent on the radio is huge, and he definitely knows his stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to go back to what he was talking about on the defensive side, the leadership aspects of everything. You know, every good team's got a lot of talented players. You need those guys who can step up in your locker room, who can be guys you can turn to when your team's struggling, when your team's succeeding. So really like what he brought up there.
I really do. I mean, Oklahoma is a team that is definitely on people's radar this year because, as Dave mentioned in the interview, last year they really struggled. I mean, I asked him about the offensive game, and I mean, they just want offense. What it sounds like right now is how the Bears sounded a few years ago, where we had the talent, but we had no line play, and we couldn't complete a pass that was not a screen. Oklahoma, on the other hand, has a lot of talent, but they have to deal with they're new to the SEC. The O-line and their team really has to adjust, and also just like they recruited a lot better this year than their past season. And he mentioned too, Jay Knott, John Mateer are going to be huge. But as you mentioned, Connor, the loss of their All-American on the defense, and he also mentioned another All-American. So losing those two leaders, that's going to be tough. And if the Redbirds can get going early, it's going to be a fun one on Saturday.
And it's definitely something to say that it's a new quarterback. It's a lot of different transfers. It's going to be a little bit of adjustment, I would say, for Oklahoma. But I think the Redbirds, they may do what they did in Iowa, where they can stick with them for a little bit, and they just got to keep their foot on the pedal and not let up, and they can see what happens and go from there.
Yeah, I said it a little bit earlier, but I mean, the toughness of this Illinois State team is really going to be tested in this game, because when you consider how good this offense is in Oklahoma, they're going to be, let's be very fair, a lot better than the offense for the Iowa Hawkeyes. When you consider how good this team is, how talented they are top to bottom on that roster, I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle for sure, but the toughness of this team is definitely going to be tested, and the mental kind of abilities for this team to kind of stay out of your own head is definitely going to be on full display.
So we can just look at the records from last year all we want. We talk about how ISU was a second-round playoff team last year, 10-4, 6-2 in conference, and now Oklahoma struggled. But this year, come tomorrow, is a brand new year. Oklahoma ranked 18 in the FBS. ISU ranked 6 in the FCS. I think that this is going to be a great one on Saturday. I've said it a lot. I'm just going to say it again. I'm really excited, and it's going to be fun. Everyone, make sure you have your subscriptions ready, because this one is not going to be on the local cable. You're going to have to go to your internet for that one.
I say, unfortunately, you can't even find that here with us. We're not even going to be able to cover that game, but we'll cover it after the game, but not during.
Unfortunately not, but we also have our beat reporter, Cole Skipper, who got a preview story out. It should be out today on the website, WZND.com, and Jason Zaylor, our other football beat reporter, will have a recap story for you post-Oklahoma game. Now, ISU has Oklahoma on Saturday, and then they'll be returning home next Saturday for their first matchup of the season at Hancock Stadium versus Morehead State.
Yeah, Morehead State, team that won 7 games last year. I mean, this is going to be a game kind of determined by inches, I would say. I think this is going to be a very close matchup between these two teams. I also want to mention Week 4, North Alabama. I mean, that's a team, they only won 3 games last year, but ISU only beat them by a touchdown last year, so they put up a good fight. And I mean, it's going to be a tough first couple of weeks for sure. That Morehead State game, definitely going to be one you want to circle, because it's going to be a close one.
The mentality I'm going to be preaching these next few weeks is any given Saturday. Have that mentality, Redbirds will be just fine. But that's all we've got right now on Oklahoma versus ISU. Now that's Saturday, 5:00 in Norman. Once again, thanks to Dave Myrick from the franchise for being on the Red Zone. When we come back, we'll be talking MLB and the rest of college football as we get ready for this weekend. Justin, 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. You're back on the Red Zone with William Lyons, Jaden Cohn, and Connor Allen. Now, guys, let's talk some national sports. First off, baseball on the agenda. Now, we can talk all we want about the Cubs, but let's briefly mention our other two local teams. The White Sox have a weekend series against the New York Yankees. A chance to shock the Bronx. I mean, the White Sox struggling. And you all know I'm a White Sox fan. Not going to harp too much on them, because that could be a whole other episode on itself. The Cardinals won today against the Pirates after struggling yesterday. And the Cardinals really trying to keep things going here. I mean, they're 3 games under 500. Not as bad as the White Sox. And it's definitely a down year, but not the most down year, if you guys can agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a good spot right now. Like you said, 3 games under 500. Their only issue, Cincinnati Reds been playing some good baseball lately, and they're going to face them for a 3-game series coming up here. Back to the White Sox, the only thing I'm looking forward to in this White Sox series, this 4-game series with the Yankees, is to potentially strike out Anthony Volpe a ton, so Yankees fans just absolutely lose their mind because then he'd be under the Mendoza line. But that's all I'm looking forward to on the south side.
Now let's really talk about the team that is dominating baseball right now, the Chicago Cubs. We talked about it a little bit in our first episode last week. But the Chicago Cubs currently at a 76-58 record. They lost 4-3 to the San Francisco Giants today, a team that's been kind of biting them a little bit in this series. I mean, Rafael Devers has just been really crushing it against the Chicago Cubs, but we cannot doubt the Chicago Cubs this year. I mean, just a lot of talent on that team. And if they can get things going down the stretch here, October ball is in their favor.
And that's the point of the season where, I mean, I watched the game today. Willie Adames hit 2 home runs against the pitching staff. The Cubs just need to, they need to lock in, and they need to, their pitching staff needs to just stop letting up easy home runs and get things going.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's a tough series, and looking forward to the rest of their road trip here. They're going to be in Colorado for 3 games, so that should be able to get them back on track. My big question, though, today especially, you have, you know, a lineup that's you're facing a lefty pitcher. Why is Owen Casey not in the lineup? Ian Happ has been terrible this season, let's be very fair. I don't understand the reason why you're not going lefty-lefty there. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I'm not a fan of Craig Counchell. I'd love to get into his head because it doesn't make sense to me, quite honestly.
And one thing I'll say, Cubs fans, is you're going to be okay. You're not the White Sox or the Cardinals right now. And also, let's look at this schedule. You got the Colorado Rockies for 3 games. Then you play Atlanta, who's been kind of on and off a little bit. And then you play Washington. Now, Washington's not a team that you sleep on, but it's also, this is a nice stretch for the Cubs to get back to who they are. I mean, earlier this season, we were all talking about, oh my gosh, the Chicago Cubs might have finally figured it out. They did some stuff in the offseason, Kyle Tucker, and they've just really got it figured out. But I think that come October, they're going to be a team to walk out for as long as the Milwaukee Brewers aren't in their future.
And you just mentioned how they did stuff at the deadline. I just feel like they needed more arms. They needed to fix the bullpen, get another starter to help Shota. It didn't work out, and it's showing.
I mean, they got another arm. They got Mike Soroka, who's currently on the IL and was really never a good trade piece to begin with. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, this team's still going to be dangerous come October. Like, the sky is not falling on the north side. The team looks better than they did, you know, about 2 weeks ago, but still not a good spot to be in. And when you consider the fact that your, you know, rivals up north in Milwaukee have about $50 million less on their payroll and are a far better team, it's just a tough spot to be in.
We'll have more on the Cubs, White Sox, and Cardinals for you next week, but now we need to talk about this. The Cowboys trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers for 2 first-round picks and D-lineman Kenny Clark. And right after signing, he signed a $188 million deal with the Green Bay Packers. He is one of the highest-paid non-quarterback players in the NFL right now. Now, this is huge, especially if you're a Bears fan like the 3 of us right here. I mean, can the Bears ever just win one? Can we ever
no.
just win?
No.
Ever. Like, last week, we're all like, oh, this is the year. We got the guys. We're going to be good. Now they got Micah Parsons. So we might be in some trouble if Braxton Jones can't figure it out week one or whenever we play the Packers.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my head when I got that notification from Schefter was like, Braxton Jones has got to be in a big sweat right now because he's got to hit the weight room and get prepared to preparing against Parsons.
I mean, talk about a guy that was already having enough pressure on to begin with because the Bears signed all these linemen in the offseason. The one they didn't improve on was Braxton Jones, and that's obviously adding a lot of pressure. You're the guy that we decided to keep. Now let's see what you can do to get better for this season. And now you got to go block Micah Parsons when we play the Packers twice this season. It's going to be tough. And I know you got some more stuff to say on it, Connor.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like you got a lot to say.
I mean, I was fully prepared. I mean, the NFC North, let's be very fair, it's the best division in football. I don't think there's much debate there. And it was the best division before Micah Parsons got there. And now it's the best by a wide margin. I was fully convinced the Packers were fourth in the North. I thought the Bears are going to get third or second. They're going to be in a battle with Minnesota or Detroit. Now, I don't know. I mean, that defense immediately gets a jolt just by adding a guy like Micah Parsons because he can play literally anywhere.
And we're on the topic of the NFC North. I need to ask people this. Like, I know we can't get like a live chat or something going, but like, been doing a lot of fantasy drafts recently. Why is Jared Goff falling so low in people's polls? Like, just because they lost Ben Johnson, he's still a good quarterback. They still have Penei Sewell. They still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, this is a guy that I think is going to be a very good team. And I'm not a Lions fan without any means. Don't get me wrong. I hate the Lions. But I think people are very mean right now and sleeping on a guy that is not a bad quarterback. Like, he's not some bum they just picked up off the street.
And out of that, the Lions are basically the same, a lot of the same offensively with the same guys. They just replace their coaches. So it's a new system, but you have the same guys that could still have that same chemistry and it'll work together. And I think this Lions team is decent enough.
You still have one of the best old lines in football. You still have one of the best receivers in football, and Amon-Ra. Jameson Williams is a great talent, too. But, I mean, seriously, the NFC North is going to be interesting now because now you have the unexpected play of J.J. McCarthy. How is he going to pair with Justin Jefferson if he stays healthy? And we have – so we hit the NFC North. Let's just recap really quick. We have Ben Johnson, new team. We have everyone doubting the Detroit Lions. J.J. McCarthy in his first game come week one against the Bears. And now Micah Parsons. What is the NFC North? Like, come on.
I think at this point, it's kind of fair to say, like, the team in the worst situation right now is the Minnesota Vikings. Like, when you consider the fact that Jordan Addison is suspended, Justin Jefferson's kind of up in the air, and you have a rookie quarterback who was a game manager at the University of Michigan. Like, they're in a bad spot right now, and the Packers are on the upswing. I mean, they are in a really good spot. Jordan Love still is not a great quarterback, but if he can be serviceable enough, that makes them Super Bowl contenders.
And Connor, you brought up the point earlier about how you thought the Packers were going to finish fourth. I think the Vikings will be taking that fourth place spot. I just think having a rookie quarterback who didn't play a single snap last season and the rookie, like, shaky receiving core, it's going to be tough for them to get going offensively. And I think the Bears probably a second place finish in that division.
And I'm going to touch briefly on this because I know I've been getting a lot of stuff the past week. Got to mention it on Red Zone. Congratulations to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift now engaged. Congrats to them. I'm not a Chiefs fan, but you got to give credit. The guy's a great talent. She's a great artist. The power couple of the NFL is going to keep living on my TV screen for the next 5 years.
And you already know the Chiefs are going to be back in the Super Bowl too. Like this is gonna add to the magic or whatever they're doing over there in Kansas City. They're going to be back. She's going to be back on our screens. I'm not going to complain about it, but like, it's going to happen. Unfortunately,
is this the year? Because they've asked her before to do a halftime show. Is this the year she finally does it?
Probably. I mean, I don't want it, but probably.
That's a great storyline, too, if you think about it.
Yeah, it probably is. But let's move on a little bit. We're going to spend these last 2 minutes talking about what's going on this Labor Day weekend. College football. We already talked about the ISU Redbirds against the Oklahoma Sooners, but we have games going on from today all the way down to Labor Day, where Bill Belichick will get his first game as a North Carolina head coach. Right now, we have Boise State playing South Florida. That's the only ranked matchup of the night. Boise State, the ranked team, currently trailing 17-7 to the South Florida Bulls. But tomorrow, we'll have some pretty non-ranked matchups and stuff that's good. If you're a fan of that team, nothing really to look forward to, but Saturday is the really big day. Start off your day with number one Texas versus number three Ohio State. Lee Corso's last college game day, putting the headgear on. And I think we can all agree he's picking Ohio State. He's going to go with his first team he picked on Saturday. But, I mean, that's going to be a great game. You also got Alabama, Florida State later in the day. There's a lot of teams you really don't see play each other. The one that excites me, though, the Battle of Death Valley, Clemson versus LSU, 9-4 in Clemson. That's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a big NFL draft guy, get ready to learn the names T.J. Parker, Peter Woods on this defense for Clemson. Garrett Nussmeier is going to be a guy who's going to get those conversations to be a potential top 10 pick. I mean, this is going to be a crazy game. Everyone's talking about Ohio State and Texas playing week one. This game's going to be kind of in that same boat. It's going to be amazing.
The thing that interests me about the Ohio State-Texas game, though, is it's really the first true start for both these guys. And you can say last year Arch Manning played. He played against UTSA. He didn't actually get an actual quality start. He's having his first official start against one of the best teams in college football, the reigning national champions in Ohio State. And I can talk for days about them as I'm an Ohio State fan. But Julian Sand getting the first start for the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's going to be a fun game to watch. But Ohio State returns a lot of their receivers, a lot of their offense, but they won't have the running backs that they had last year in Judkins and Henderson. So that's going to be very interesting to watch as well.
Yeah, as long as you have Jeremiah Smith on that offense, I mean, you're going to be a competitive team because he is just another world talent, almost, you could say. So, I mean, they're in a really good spot still. Ryan Day is a good coach. I think he caught a lot of hate last year for that loss to Michigan, but he rallied that team back, and they're going to be in a similar spot even with a new man under center.
And you just brought up Smith. I remember watching him in that championship game, and he's so fast. He's so big, and he's just able to use his body, get in the end zone, and he just outmatches his opponents.
So let's look really quick at Sunday. Sunday we will have Notre Dame and Miami. That's later in the night. But also we got Virginia Tech and South Carolina. Well, Norris Seller is returning to the Gamecocks. It's going to be a fun season for them. We'll watch all about him in that Netflix series. But Notre Dame, Miami, 6-10. The new quarterback, C.J. Carr, gearing up for the Fighting Irish. And Carson Beck making his first start as a Miami Hurricane. That's going to be a fun one in Miami, Florida on Sunday night. That's a really good way to end off your Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame lost a lot of pieces last year. Obviously, you don't have Riley Leonard anymore. You're depending on a 19-year-old C.J. Carr. But Jeremiah Love, I mean, he's going to be in the conversation to be another top 15 pick. I mean, he's just such a good running back. Miami's also in a good spot as well. I mean, Mario Cristobal is going to have that team rolling, and they're going to have to go out there and prove why they paid Carson Beck all that money this offseason.
I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, if ESPN still makes them, I think we need a favorite for 30 on Marcus Freeman. He's built a great culture down in South Bend, and the guys definitely rally behind him. And then as I talked a little bit about, too, on Monday, we will have Bill Belichick making his first head coaching appearance for the Tar Heels as they'll play the TCU Horned Frogs in North Carolina. That'll be a fun game on Monday night. And then we get an NFL next week. It's going to be a fun week of football, fun weekend of football, as I should say. Good luck to all the high school teams again in the Bloomington-Normal area. Good luck to our Redbirds and all sports, especially football, as they're taking on an SEC opponent. It's going to be a great week. Next week, we'll come back with the recap of that game, more sports ISU-related, and also NFL preview, because NFL is back next weekend. I can't wait. Go Bears. But seriously, go Redbird football. Shock the world. Shock the Sooners. We'll see you next week on Red Zone. Once again, I'm Liam Lyons, alongside Jaden Cohn, our producer, and Connor Allen. We'll see you next time on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Go Birds.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson Wooden now drives inside. Going to find Mary Crompton for her first three of the day. And it's good.
Curry owned the league last year. Oh, and sure. Personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
I dare you have good fun.